Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 118 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast live from Uruguay. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been a fun week. It's been a busy week. If you've been following along on Twitter, you know we landed in Uruguay with the Raptors late Sunday night. Been here for, you know, a work week now, 6 days, I think, five, 6 days. It's been a really good experience, so I'll go ahead and tell you all about that in this week's breakdown. The breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's, the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. So as I was saying, this is going to be a very American Raptors heavy show, as it probably should be since we are here in Uruguay and have had quite the week. So in the breakdown, just like I was saying, it's been an awesome experience. I've been training at Estadio Charrua, which is where the Uruguayan Rugby Union's headquarters is. Hopefully I said that right. I've exhausted every bit of high school Spanish that I learned, you know, over 10 years ago now. So I'm doing my best. But they had a scrimmage, first scrimmage of the tour on Tuesday evening against Los Cuervos, which is a local club out here. Started with forwards working against forwards, backs working against the backs. I watched a little bit of both. The backs certainly had more success against their backs than the Raptors forwards did against their forwards. It was a nice lesson in scrimmaging and lineouts and technique and all that stuff. And I was kind of interested to see, you know, what was going to happen when they actually went live, because that's what they did for the next 30 to 40 minutes after that first session was over. And they looked really good. The Raptors actually did look really good. They put it all together. Technically won the scrimmage, air quotes. Nobody was really keeping score, but the Raptors did put up, I think, four tries. Los Cuervos only scored one try on the last play of the match, so Raptors did look really good all across the board once the whistle blew and they got between the stripes and played some rugby, so it was cool to see. Los Cuervos' facility was awesome. Had three fields, kind of felt like it was in the middle of nowhere, just surrounded by trees. Really cool clubhouse, a lot of old rugby stuff. I think that club's been around since like the 50s. It was just cool to be out there. It was a cool environment, cool facility. As you'll kind of hear what in my interview with Christian Alvarez coming up here pretty soon, it was just really dark. They had lights everywhere, but the lights just weren't that bright. So it was like playing really dark. Felt like you're playing, you know, in the street when you're a kid. So that was a little bit different, but they overcame and put some good rugby on the pitch, and it was fun to watch. So that was cool to see. Our next two matches of this tour will be against the Uruguayan U23 team. They'll play the first one on Sunday afternoon at a polo club. I believe kickoff is at 4:30 p.m. local time, so that will be 12:30 p.m. Denver time. Everything I've heard says that the match will be streamed, so I will push all that information out when I get it. Should be, you know, in the next couple of days, since tomorrow is Friday. Final match will take place on the following Friday, so a week from when you're probably listening to this episode, at Estadio Charrua. That match should also be streamed, so again, I will put all that information out when I get it as well. And those two matches will be against the Uruguayan U23 team, so this will be, you know, the toughest team that the Raptors have ever played. I'm looking forward to seeing how all that goes and how they stack up. It's going to be quite the sight, so I'm glad I get to see their first one. Glad I get to see another different venue. This should be cool. I'm very much looking forward to all that. So be sure to follow along on Twitter. I'll keep you in the loop on all that stuff. Like I said, everything's good. Everybody's very friendly. People are nice. Weather's awesome. It's been a very successful trip so far. And I'm looking forward to soaking in these last couple of days because I am leaving a little bit earlier than everyone else. I will miss the last one. So I'm going to try to get up the rest of the content I can before I go. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the loop. It's like I said at the top of the show, this is going to be a Raptors-heavy, Raptors-centric podcast. So I'm going to skip some more pieces and we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming next week. So we're going to skip all the rugby that you can watch this weekend and jump straight into the interview portion of the show. This interview is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. Visit guardlab.com for more information. So this interview this week, I'm pumped to have American Raptors scrum half Christian Alvarez on the show. It's been really fun getting to know him a little better down here. I haven't really, you know, talked to him very much. It's been a busy fall for me. So a lot of the new guys I don't really know that well. But Christian's been awesome, you know, like I said, talking to him on the bus and at training and stuff these last couple of days. And he's got an awesome story, awesome perspective on life. So you'll understand when the podcast's over, just the way that he looks at things and the way that he approaches things is very, you know, it's unique and it's grounding and just a real good guy all around. You'll be seeing a lot more of him because he was just drafted 22nd overall to Enola Gold in the 2021 MLR draft. So he's a name and a person you're going to want to keep your eye on as he kind of moves up through the ranks these next couple of years. And it kind of starts with the Raptors in a way. So fun getting to know Christian. Thank you to Christian for coming to chat with me for a little bit. So I hope everybody enjoys this conversation with American Raptors scrum half Christian Alvarez. And I will add, this is my first interview with some new mics. And that always takes a little bit, you know, to get lined up. So I apologize for some mixed up sound levels. Did my best to even them out and boost them up a little bit, but it always takes a couple interviews with these new mics before you get them really honed in. So I apologize in advance, but you should still enjoy this interview with American Raptors scrum half Christian Alvarez. All right, now welcome on to the show, American Raptors scrum half Christian Alvarez, live from Uruguay. Christian, how's it going?
Hey man, pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for coming on. Looking forward to chatting with you, man. It's been good getting to talk to you a little bit over these last couple of days, so happy to have you on the podcast. So, Chris, the first question we ask everybody that comes on the show is just, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Yeah, so, to go off that, dude, yeah, pleasure meeting you, too. I think this is the first time we've met, but you've been with the Raptors.
Yeah,
so
a couple.
It's cool getting to know you, too, man. You've been really awesome, so thanks for everything. So I'm Christian Alvarez. I'm from Sacramento, California, born and raised. Up until the age of 10, but we'll get into that, I guess, later in the podcast because it has to do with rugby. But yeah, so grew up in California, not where I picked up rugby, but that's where all my family live and currently live right now. So I just had a niece and she's back out there. So
very nice.
When we're done with the tour, looking forward to getting back there and spending some time with the family.
Nice, man. How did you get into rugby? Did you play rugby always? Did you play other sports growing up and somebody convinced you to go out and play? Like, how did that start?
It's because of my mom.
Yeah.
But there's a story to it. When I was 10, I moved to Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
you're pretty well traveled from the sounds of it, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Thanks to my mom.
Yeah.
And my mom's an amazing lady, but she really is the reason I got into rugby. Without her, you know, I wouldn't have got into it. But yeah, we basically moved to New Zealand because she got a job opportunity out there. And moved there when I was 10. And I went to my first rugby muster, which is what they do in New Zealand, where all the kids go to like the local club and get put into teams. And yeah, I joined my first club when I was 10. Just because, you know, when I was at school, everyone plays rugby there. So I obviously wanted to fit in. And yeah, I'm really glad I went out to the Waiuku Rugby Club in Auckland, my first rugby club.
What does your mom do?
She works for the government.
Okay, so she's moving around all the time then?
Yeah.
Or honestly, used to?
A decent amount. I spent 8 years in New Zealand, so we were there for a while. I went all the way through high school and finished high school there. So
wow.
Yeah, it was a big, you know, a good portion of my life.
Yeah. What is that like, kind of like learning with those guys? Like, were you already behind the eight ball, I guess, then?
Absolutely, dude. Even now, I'm not, you know, nowhere near the player
right.
I want to be. I'm honestly not super talented or gifted. I just, you know, I really love playing the sport. So
uh-huh.
I feel like that's taken me a long way. And that's here. In New Zealand, dude, I was at the back of the pack.
Yeah.
I was, you know, always throughout that, you know, throughout my whole time there. I just love playing. I just love showing up. Like, I didn't care if I made a C team, a B team, or A. Like, you know what I mean? It didn't.
Yeah, you just want to play.
I didn't make C teams. There were a lot of times where I made, you know, the third team for my weight class, but we eventually got those.
Yeah,
those A team spots, but I just love.
So I guess what is the difference? Like, I feel like I've talked to a lot of people about that. Like, what is different from the way that they do things there that we do it here? Is it just that they're, if they're not like working or they're not at school, or they just have a ball in their hand? Like, is that the?
No, not really. You'd think that just because how good they are,
but right.
Think about how good the U.S. is at football.
Mm-hmm.
Kids aren't always playing football. It's just that they play it a significant amount.
Right.
In New Zealand's the same thing. Like, they. You know, every year, a lot of kids play rugby. Mm-hmm. The majority of boys will play rugby, and, you know, girls too. But it's just in their blood. They go crazy for the All Blacks. They love rugby. It's just, you know, their football equivalent. That's why they're so skilled. They're just used to doing what rugby has to them.
That makes sense.
They love doing it too.
Yeah.
Because if you look at their team, they're not even the craziest athletes. They just know how to play rugby.
Yeah, they just
to know how to play rugby. Yeah. You can't just be an athlete. You have to
right
know how to play
as we're learning, right? Absolutely. With this experiment. So so you said you finished high school in New Zealand and then you moved back.
Yep.
Where'd you move to?
Moved back to Denver, Colorado, actually. Yeah. That's where we ended up first. We didn't go back to California. Mom got a job in Denver, Colorado, and out in Cherry Creek, so not too far where we're at in Glendale. But I came back for college. I went to Penn State University for school. That was always the plan.
Yeah.
Come back when I finished high school here, because I went to a pretty good high school, honestly. Like, shout out Sacred Heart. CC went to the same high school, ironically. US Eagle on our team. But we always knew once I graduated, we were gonna, you know, it was time to come back. And, you know, my dream was to be an Eagle. I want to play for the U.S., you know. A little different to other kids because everyone wants to be an All Black. But I was the only
It's different.
Rugby, so came back here, went to college, Penn State for 5 years. You know, used all 5 years of eligibility because of COVID. But, yeah, spent five really good years there.
So how did you end up at Penn State? Like,
So I was looking at schools that had rugby first, even though my mom told me to, you know, always pushed for academics first, which is, you know, I eventually brought that in, but looked at what schools were the best in rugby. I looked at, like, the poll at the time and the rankings. And then I looked at their degree, the quality of their degree. And I wanted, like, the best of both. So Penn State was, you know, that by a long shot. You know, other schools too. But all in all, like, Penn State, the degree and along with how they were at the time, in terms of rugby, they were pretty, you know, they were up there top five.
Right.
And obviously, you know, academically, Penn State, it's a pretty, pretty credible school. So, yeah, it was a pretty easy decision to make when I got accepted in there, but I also applied to a lot of schools.
Yeah.
I was in New Zealand when I was applying for colleges, didn't get the tour any, so I was doing it all online. So, just kind of
went in a little bit blind,
picked the best one.
How'd you enjoy your time there?
I absolutely loved it. Both rugby, you know, the people I met, and, you know, the degree I got out of it. I learned a lot. You know? I came out a different person than I went in, which is good. You know?
That's what's supposed to happen. Yeah.
So I got some of my money's worth. No, I learned a lot, met amazing people, and, you know, the rugby was good, too, that I could to do that at a collegiate level.
That's cool, man. That's nice. So it's important to enjoy your college years because you only get them once, right? Yeah. If you do it right, I suppose. So I guess the next question I had, so when did kind of getting drafted into MLR become a realistic possibility? Because, like, the drafts only existed for 2 years, right? So is this something that you had your eye on? And I guess I skipped over an important piece. You got drafted 22nd overall to Nola Gold this year's draft, right? So congratulations, first of all. I got a lot of questions about that. So I guess when did that become a realistic possibility?
The first year. I was still still at school. I hadn't finished yet. And when the first one went, when the first one happened, I was just, I don't remember, it was a COVID year too. So we didn't have any rugby. And yeah, I remember the first draft was all just, was all virtual. Everything all the coaches saw had to be filmed before they went off. So I don't know if you noticed, like, first year, all the West Coast teams picked West Coast players because that's who they see.
Yeah.
East Coast teams obviously picked those East Coast players because they're used to seeing those guys, you know, not if every week, but, like, you know, they just know of them know of them more.
So right. That was difficult. We're easier to get in touch, yeah. I guess, with somebody that you've worked with. Absolutely. Or, hey, tell me about this kid.
Yeah, they only had two rounds
right.
last time. So it wasn't that many kids. And, so I applied. I, you know, entered that, didn't get drafted. Didn't have the highest hopes either because no teams were talking to me. But then, you know, my last year at Penn State, I knew it was going to be another thing coming up. So I trained just really hard.
Yeah.
We didn't have that much rugby either at that my last year.
Right.
The COVID only literally had one 15s game the whole year.
Wow.
Just worked really hard. I was great. Luckily enough, we had a MLR combine. It was the first.
Yeah. I saw you wearing the shirt today.
I'm wearing it. Oh, right. Sick. That was actually, you know, guys have different opinions on it. And people in the rugby world will have different opinions on it, but that was a huge part of me getting drafted. Prior to the combine, I'd only been talking to like a couple teams. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really, you know, my film still wasn't great. Like I didn't have that much film or games under my belt. But at the combine, I met the GM of NOLA Gold, who was, you know, not every team had representation.
Half
the teams had representation. So still wasn't the whole audience, but it was something. And it was enough for me to, you know, get spotted by Fitz. And, it kind of just went from there. He got me out down for a visit 2 days after the draft to check the facilities. They still weren't giving away a lot. You know, they weren't like, oh, yeah, we're
you're a lock. Yeah.
Just like, yeah, man, if like, you know, hopefully everything goes, you know, to plan and hopefully we can get you down there. It was never like,
yeah, we're nice.
That's how I got kind of into the.
So when do you hear, like, do you hear, is it live? Do you hear like a day before? Like, when did you know you got drafted? Is that allowed to say, or are you allowed to show us how sausage is made?
Like, you know, like you see the NBA draft, you see the NFL draft.
This is not
on TV. Super cool. This was cool. However, the first round was televised live.
Uh-huh.
And then the second round and the third, we had to go online to.
Oh, really?
I remember. You know, the first round, like, not saying that I thought I would go first round, but everyone's saying, like, you know,
you have a chance, like, you're in it, you know,
it's more of a hope, like, you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't like hear my name first round or something like that, not even first pick, just in the first round or just getting picked at all. But I remember we watched it on TV and my name didn't get called, and I was like, oh man, like, I just got up, my mom and threw it up on her computer, but I'd already walked to my room and I was like, whatever happens. Like, I didn't get any phone calls either. So that was the thing. I didn't hear any phone calls. So I was like, great. Like, it's all right. I started planning my moves. If I didn't get drafted, I was like, all right, I'm going to do this, this, that.
Yeah.
So we're good. And I just hear my mom like yell and like scream from the living room. And I'm like, no way. I heard my name.
Yeah.
Like faintly. And I was like, there's no way. Just overwhelmed, honestly.
Nice,
it was,
man.
A good feeling, no lie, but it was.
That's a good story. I like that.
Yeah. It's a little different, but.
No, I like that. So, you excited to get down there? I know you said you report pretty soon.
Yeah. So, I've already been down there and saw the facility, so I already kind of know what I'm going down to. Just haven't met the guys yet. I think the day after Thanksgiving, I'll head down there.
Quick turnaround. So, you're supposed to land in Denver, what, the 22nd?
The day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, day before Thanksgiving. So,
2 days before. Yeah. I fly out the day before Thanksgiving, spend Thanksgiving at home. And then, I still haven't decided yet, but it's like, I'll try and get down there as soon as I can. You know what I mean? Like, especially coming off here.
Right.
Pretty fit. So I don't want to lose any of that. And I know the level of rugby at MLR is really high. I know the goals they want me to reach
mm-hmm.
in terms of conditioning, strength. So I still have a lot of work to do. And I just want to keep the momentum going.
Yeah, you're on the right track. That's a lot of moving around, though, man. That's a grueling week.
I learn a whole lot. Like, we're just so privileged and lucky to be able to do this. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
I count my blessings, and like, when I'm sore and stuff, like, yeah, it sucks, but like, I could also mm-hmm. be somewhere else doing something.
Beats working, right?
There's other things, not just working. There's other things that are out there that
right.
you know aren't this and. I think about, you know, how lucky I am, because I do know, you know, a lot of people would love to be in my shoes.
For sure.
Aren't. And so I just, you know, trying to be as grateful as I can.
That's a good,
as much as I can.
That's a good way to look at it. Keep the perspective, man. That's It's a good way to go through life. So I know I asked you a little bit yesterday, but can you tell me how you kind of ended up with the Raptors?
Yeah, so it was through the GM from NOLA, old Fitzy. Gave me a call on Saturday after this one of the scrum halves here, Keanu, went down with an injury. He was actually at the game. He knows Peter, the GM here, and Peter was just like, any chance, you know, a nine that we could get out here to come play? And Fitz was like, you know, matter of fact, we just drafted one like a week ago. Let me call him. So, yeah, and then 4 days later, I was here. Basically,
yeah. So tell me about your, like, thought process a little bit, like, when you get the call, though. So you were trying to say, and yesterday you were, like, kind of on the fence, like, I don't know if I should do that. Sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I got drafted, and I didn't know what that meant, you know.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to go to NOLA. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to train really hard and get there, you know, fit. And then this came up, like, unexpected. Like,
right. Completely out of left field.
I didn't think it was about the Raptors. I thought it was about, you know, something else NOLA related. But, yeah, he just kind of told me what happened. And I had a word with Peter. I called him before anything. And he walked me through everything that was out. Like, I knew what the XOs were and who the
Raptors
was. Not entirely, but.
You knew of them, at least. Course, yeah.
You know, I'm.
You're plugged in.
Yeah, not entirely. Even in, I feel like in the rugby community, what we're doing here is still kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know, in the shadows somewhat, you know,
for sure,
open for everyone to see. But, you know, I think that it's good that we're trying to, because what we're doing here is awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, once people understand what this team is and what they're trying to do and what we've accomplished and what we're going to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
is significant for rugby. Like,
right.
In the US, like, these are the things that need to happen that haven't been happening. So, yeah, it was, honestly, I'm really proud and honored to be here. Like,
yeah,
it's a great team to be a part of.
It's cool to hear a guy like you say that, and then a guy like, you know, Fitzy, like, refer you to this, right? Because that's, I mean, kind of like you were saying yesterday, like, it's just more of a chance to play more rugby.
Yeah.
And I mean, you tell me, like, it seems like the level's pretty high, right? Like, it's good rugby. Yeah.
Well, Fitzy, you know, I've talked to him a lot about this, you know what I mean? He checks up on me and stuff like that while I've been here, because I've been here for a while now. I know I came, you know, I didn't start the season with the boys, but I feel like I've been here.
Yeah, you was just a week or two in, I think, when you joined.
So it was a whole, you know, it was a shock. I was telling you, I didn't know any of these guys coming in. So it was, you know, the first couple weeks were a shock. But, yeah, you know, coming here for me personally, I know everyone else has different goals. For me, it was just game time,
mm-hmm.
Getting fit, getting back into playing rugby, because didn't play a lot of rugby in my last state, you know, in 2021. So it was time, you know, Fitzy said, get some games under your belt, get some fitness, just get used to playing. But he also said, you know, get ready, because the MLR is is another step up.
Yeah.
This is, you know, pretty tough, pretty good level.
Like, right.
We're, not only do I play with guys who are very good athletes, we play against, you know, guys who are also very good athletes and you know, play good rugby. I know we've had some big blowouts and we put on some good performances, but, like, you know, we're playing really hard, you know, hard, fast rugby.
Right.
The level of physicality is definitely up from college. Like, you know,
for sure.
Like, it's a good level. I know it's not where we want to be, but, dude, we're playing, like, Uruguay this weekend. I think that might be
That's going to be a good measuring stick, right? Yeah, it's going to be a good test to see where you're at. And it is, like you're saying, it is. It seems like a good bridge, right? It's a it's a perfect next step before you take that next step and go, you know, play with NOLA.
Yeah. Yeah. It's already proven the work. You know,
these
guys, some of these guys that just came back from MLR.
Season. Right.
Some of these guys won the MLR.
Jalen or Aki. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's insane.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It's actually insane. I talk to those guys a lot about, you know, their experience.
Right.
Because, like, I just want to know as much as I can before I go. And I just love listening to, like, you know, like, they literally won the, not like, their inaugural.
Right. Their inaugural season.
Yeah. Like, they won it. Like, that's insane. Like, I want to know, like, and they're my teammates. So of course, I want to, like, ask them, you know, everything that they would want to tell me, because that's such an unreal experience.
For sure.
They started here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they started here when they were the XOs.
Right. And Jalen, you know, Jalen's, I know Ake had played a little bit before going to college and stuff, but
he's Tongan.
Right.
He knows about rugby.
For sure. But Jalen, completely new. Like, I think I'd have to check the dates, but it's almost a year or two the day like Jalen reported for that first like crossover camp last November, where that was the first time he'd ever like touched a ball, you know?
Dude, he was literally playing at Purdue not that long ago.
Yeah.
he is a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Strong.
Yes.
People listening, Jalen.
I do not envy the people that have to tackle him. Like, even that line break he had in the scrimmage the other day.
He lost some dreads, but that was a crazy run by a front row or two.
He can move.
Shout out, Jalen.
So you're enjoying your time, safe to say?
I am so appreciative of it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so happy to be here. It's awesome. Like, I don't know, you know, look at the weather, look at the people, you know, the food. I mean, we'll keep that. Yeah. It's something else. But, you know, it's been cool. It hasn't been just rugby, which is, like, super important because we just came from, like, a lot of rugby focused. And, like, games like these, like, where you can't just wear yourself out. Like the coach said, wear yourself out before the game's even played by thinking, like, don't play the game. And that's something I've learned because I don't know if it's just me, but, you know, I feel like you have to learn that because it's so easy to play the games in your head. Like, oh, I want this scenario to happen. I want this to happen.
Right.
And you think it's fine, but then you realize, like, when you don't do that, you actually
play, like, just let it come to you and just let it.
It's like those mental aspects that are like those one percenters that I learned from, like, these guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Learned from coaches like Coach Bott and Mosse and Luke and even Mark. You know, shout out Mark. He's not here with us, but. You know, that's just, you know, another good, great thing about coming here. I had four coaches.
Right.
I said I had one.
Yeah.
A couple throughout the year. I had one head coach, but, you know, assistant coaches came and went pretty frequently. But so I only had, like, the one coach for those 5 years. And it's just different and like, really special to be able to
have
four coaches. Like, it's – plus, we also have guys coming in to help us. And Damien came and helped us with kicking. And it's just – so much to be learned here, which is like really a huge plus, you know, over anything else. Like, just the opportunity and the knowledge that I've got from here is something like I can't put a price on, you know.
That's cool, man. I've never heard it that way. I've never heard anyone say, like, you have, because you really do, you have four people around you all the time. Like, you're training every single day, like, to see they can help you get from here to here, and then they can help you get from, you know, point B to point C, right?
And they want you to get there.
Right.
And like, if you, I could text any of them anytime, and unless they're, if they're awake, they'll get back to me. You know what I mean? They want to help, you know, and we're really lucky with all the, you know, the tech we have and all the things they have in place to, like, monitor our progress and make sure we're on the up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is, you know, just shows how much they care about us and how much they want us to improve, you know.
Right.
We want to improve as players too, but, you know, they obviously want us to improve as well.
So right. Be the best he can be. For that. How do you think the scrimmage went?
That was I think it was obviously a great experience.
Yeah.
It was different. It was dark.
Yeah, it was very dark. I was going to ask how
I had to bring my night vision goggles out.
Yeah, how hard that was to see the ball. I heard a lot of guys being like, it literally looks like the ball's like glitching, like when you pass, like it's in one spot and then it's way over here. Literally, it's like,
because it spins around too, so the colors.
Like
with the dark
camouflage. The
No, it was brutal. So, and I'm throwing the ball to these guys all the time.
Yeah.
The nine, so I'm trying to keep the passes in front of them, not too high, you know, not make any, you know, bad passes and just, you know, make their jobs easier. But it was tough to see, but it was cool. You know, it was two parts. We had the backs went against just the backs, and then the forwards went against just the forwards for, like, the first half. I heard the forwards had some experience, you know. They had a good wake-up call with their scrums.
I watched a little bit of that. Yeah.
Exposed as forwards right now. Y'all got blown up, but y'all bring it back when it counts in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So we did our positional stuff, and then we came together for, you know, what was it, 30 minutes, 35 minutes in total of a scrimmage, and we just played our rugby. And we just
it looked good.
I will just show that.
I was impressed. So.
Getting it, you know what I mean? Like, shout out to the Cuervos. They were good, and they put bodies in front of us. But it just gave us, you know, we're not going to get ahead of ourselves, and we haven't. You know, that was just what it was. It was like a practice.
Yeah.
But we're going to build off that. We were glad to have that. We needed that.
Right.
So especially going up against Uruguay, like.
For sure.
A team that practices together, you know, it's the best, you know, the best of what Uruguay has. So we're going to take that and keep moving forward.
Right.
But it was a great experience, even though it was
very dark.
The food was awesome, too. Their hospitality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you like? Did you get to walk around that clubhouse at all? Like yeah, that place was awesome.
Of course, man. I walked in there, saw pictures of like Graham Henry and you know all those like little little plaques and just saw like all the things they've done. It's just cool because I've been in I've been in a lot of club rooms. Like I've been kind of around the world.
Yeah, you have. Yeah,
in a few places around the world.
No, more than
me. To see what club rooms have. Like
it almost feels like a museum, kind of. Like the stuff's like old, yeah. Like the plaques, everything, man.
Honestly, man, it feels like home. When I'm in a rugby club, like clubhouse, when I see like jerseys and just like I just know it's like a rugby thing. I'm super comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like not worried about someone pulling me out. Just like you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, there's always someone that'll have a chat with you and have some rugby story
for sure
in the rugby community. So I think that's something super special about rugby too.
Yeah.
But the club room was awesome. The meet was awesome. Everyone knows, everyone had a few beverages.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, but it was awesome. The boys were super cool on the other team, got to exchange some gear. So
that's awesome, man. Overall. I'm glad you enjoyed it. A couple more questions before I let you go, Christian. Has there been anybody on the team that's impressed you, I guess, thus far? Like, because like you said, you didn't know really anybody coming in here. A lot of guys are new, especially like, a lot of guys are very new. Like a lot of guys have been playing rugby for 3 months.
Yeah.
Has there been anybody that's kind of caught your eye a little bit?
Dude, all my teammates are dogs. They're all my boys. They're all cool.
Yeah.
Except Ricky. No. Ricky. They're all cool. They honestly impressed me. Everyone told me, not everyone. So everyone I told when I was coming here and what I learned, kind of suggested to the fact that you're going to a team that doesn't know how to play rugby, and I'm like, I've done that a little bit before here, like in the U.S. Like teams, like some clubs that were, didn't have the greatest rugby IQ because it's still new.
It's still new, yeah.
But so I was like, all right, I can deal with it. I'm playing nine. All I got to do is just give them, distribute the ball. Like Fitz said, like I wasn't also a big thing coming here. I didn't want to get injured. So
right.
I tried to, do my best to make my body conditioned to play.
Uh-huh.
And I think they gradually build. It built really well going through the season. But, honestly, dude, everyone on this team is a dog.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent a lot of time with the backs, but, our forwards, dogs, front rows are all, our front rows are insane. I know we had a shortage in locks, but, all our locks are dope. Our loose forwards are sick. My other nine, Nolan, he's new.
He's really brand new.
And he's a big boy. Like, he's a stocky boy. You could have him in the back line somewhere, or even as a loose forward. Like, that's how, he's a stocky boy. But, and nine is hard.
Right.
I tell him that all the time when he's, like, not always sure about his play. Honestly, I'm going to actually say Nolan because I spent the most time with him.
I was going to ask you about Nolan.
Sure. Yeah, he's nine's hard, man.
It's right.
Like, throw a spiral pass. I only started playing nine after high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was a forward in my first 7 years of rugby.
Really?
I played in the forward pack. I was a lock.
Yeah.
A loose forward. Like if I was over 225 right now, I'd be in the forward pack. So I had to learn how to play nine. Like,
right.
I always knew how to pass a rugby ball, but it's hard to pass a rugby ball from the deck to a person.
Right.
Every time.
Quick, make every the right time. Decision.
Like, in a tight spiral every time. Like I look at it now, like it's easy. Obviously it's easier for me now. I'm still like working on perfecting my pass, but I look back like it's not easy. You got to work on it. So for Nolan to come in on a few months, dude, and do what he's doing, like it helps that he's a beast athlete.
But right.
He's also, like, dude, he's learning how to play the position, knowing how to control the boys, knowing how to box kick something mm-hmm. that's super. If you don't kick, it's weird. He wasn't a kicker.
Football. He's never thinking about kicking. I had Nolan on a couple of months ago, and I was telling him that too, like. It's apparent like that he is getting it so fast. Also, like he just looks like a natural almost, like because he's very good about directing like the pattern of play. Like he looks like he makes like sound decisions.
Yeah, he knows doesn't really well like too, which is important. You got to know where the team is going. Like,
exactly.
That's nine. Like that's big. If they go one way, you're gonna hear from the
right.
Why don't you go that way? So, and you have to be able to like deal with guys like,
right.
Always like agreeing with your decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's solid, man. His pass is getting there. Like, he's obviously a beast when he has the ball.
Right, yeah. He's very good about slipping through little hole, tiny holes also.
Known for nines. we're trying to change that.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's impressed me the most. Also, shout out to the backs. All our backs are a beast.
Got to squeeze the back shout out in. All right, Chris, last question I'll ask you before you go is tell me your favorite rugby memory.
Ooh.
tough to put you on a spot. If you got a couple, you can.
That's a tough one.
I can give you a couple examples of the people that I've had on. Like, I like asking. Yeah, it's hard with it's hard with the new.
No, I've got some cool ones, but
yeah.
Let me. I want to hear what.
Okay,
what
other so back when I was talking a lot more, you know, MLR guys. There's a lot of, you know, Luke White talked about his favorite match he ever played in was like one of his high school matches in Australia. That was like a packed house. Mm-hmm. There's been MLR finals. There's been Rugby World Cup debuts. There's been everything, but then a lot of them have just been like, oh yeah, playing high school rugby with my friends, we won state. Or
isn't that insane though that we have a team that has that many different rugby stories,
right?
And like not many are the same,
right? That is true, and you that's why I like asking this question, because it is always so different. It's just completely up to the person. So yeah, I'll talk to you know, Luke Gross. He's talking about making his first debut for the Eagles. They're talking to Mose. He's talking about playing in, you know, World Cup of Sevens, like stuff like that. But then it's also on the other spectrum. Oh, I was playing high school rugby with my best friends, or it's winning state, or it's
still a cool story.
Yeah, that's all, and that's what I'm saying.
They
all
know it is, and I'm like I feel them. I'm there's like, no I understand why you say it, like that's such.
There's no bad answer to this question, which is why I like to ask it.
Yeah, so. Obviously, getting drafted was unreal.
Yeah.
That's so different, and I'm still, like, pinching myself. Like, I don't think it's going to be real until I guess I put on, like, a jersey or training jersey, or I get on the field and, like, actually get in the mix. Like, I know mm-hmm. I have a lot of work to do. You know, I got to obviously – same thing with here. You know, I got to earn the respect of the boys by, you know, working hard, which is huge in rugby. I learned that from Sonny Bill and a lot of legends of the game. Just making sure you earn the respect of the boys by, like, showing up, mm-hmm. working hard, playing hard, like being a man of your word, coming through on things, and just, you know, looking after the boys out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look after them too, you know, they're making sure I'm not getting wrecked.
Right.
So yeah, getting drafted was unreal. I was in Auckland during the 2011 World Cup.
Yeah.
When New Zealand won it at Eden Park. I wasn't at Eden Park. I was at the Viaduct, which is like downtown on the waterfront in Auckland. And that was...
People just going crazy.
Insane. You know, that was a huge World Cup. They hadn't won
forever.
Like, not, you know, obviously won it the first one, but hadn't won it since. And to win it at home, like, it was a fairy tale. But that game was insane. 7-8.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Donald coming on with a tiny jersey.
Right.
To make that kick after, you know, while he was fishing a week ago.
Yeah.
And got the call up to suit up in a final. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, I was there. You know what I mean? Just being there in New Zealand during that was insane. And just, like, being at a World Cup.
Right.
And I remember I was like, and the U.S. was there, and I wanted to go like visit them. And I remember us thinking, like, I want to do this. Like, I want to be here one day.
Yeah.
And I knew I didn't want to be an All Black. I want to be an Eagle.
Yeah.
And like, I remember from that on, like, when I saw the enormity of the World Cup and like what it did to like a lot of people, and like, and for the players too, like, just seeing like how much it meant to them, like, I was like, I want to be here. Wow. I want to be here one day. And
give me chills, man.
Yeah.
What a way to end it.
That was a pretty good moment. I met some cool All Blacks, and I've been to a lot of All Black and Super Rugby games, which has been cool. Also, I have one from college too. My first.
Let's hear it.
Dude, so like I went to Sacred Heart College, pretty big rugby school. I went through ups and downs. First few years, made B's and C teams, was not good. Finally made it towards the end, but hadn't won a final. I didn't win a final all up until my senior year,
mm-hmm.
and I had been to the final. I've been to the final like three times, like lost every time. But yeah, that last final, my senior year, that team was just full only seniors. Because in rugby, you can in New Zealand at least, you can play. They put you in weight classes, so like mm-hmm. guys aren't getting wrecked. You
know, right, so it's many, keep it a little bit a fair.
Of, you know, it's high school. There's a lot of small kids, but you also have a lot of big kids.
Right,
so it's a good way. That, you know, a good system they have for making sure kids aren't hurt. So yeah, it was, but like, so some teams will have guys of different ages. But my team, my weight class, it was all seniors. So we had, it was a dream season. Didn't lose a game, conceded like one try the whole season. It was special to go out on that.
Cause that's awesome.
I went to a lot of finals thinking we were going to win, and it was hard. You know, it's hard to win it's hard to win a championship.
It is.
That's what it taught me. It's hard to be, you know, be successful. It's just a lot of hard work, and you know, you gotta be switched
on. A lot
on.
Has to go right.
You gotta be switched on. I've learned that here too. If you don't come switched on, ready to play, you know, you'll you won't get the results mm-hmm. you want. So it's important to like learn how to do that. And I think we're doing that here.
That's awesome, man. What a way to end it, Christian. Thank you so much for coming to chat with me, man. It's good Thanks talking to you. Looking Thanks. Forward to watching you play a little more. Then, of course, keeping up with you when you head down to NOLA here in a couple of weeks. Absolutely, so man.
Appreciate everything you do for us, taking some great pictures. But no, thanks for being a good
That's my job.
A good friend too, man. Yeah. Pleasure meeting you.
Thanks, right. Christian. I appreciate it. All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with American Raptor scrum half Christian Alvarez. I know I certainly did. Like I said, I really enjoyed his story. I really enjoyed his perspective on things, and I think he's got a bright future. He's going to be a star here in the next couple of years, so keep your eyes out for that. So, again, going to skip required reading. I know it's a little bit different of a show, but just trying to keep it moving. Like I said, been doing a lot of different stuff down here, and it's kind of cutting into podcast writing time. But I wanted to make sure I keep getting these out, and especially down in Uruguay, man. Like, I'm doing my best to explain to you kind of what's going on, and I hope you understand the picture. The everything's great. I'm going to put out more pictures. I'm going to put out some articles. I already put out one article kind of recapping the scrimmage and then just talking about the team. I will have at least one more article. I guess this is the perfect transition into the loop, like I said, because my time in Uruguay is almost over. I'm doing my best to take photos and bank up stuff to talk about over these next couple of weeks. So the content will span for a while. Like I said, going to book, bank a couple more interviews, at least one more I know for sure. So I hope everybody understands that this is going well. This is good for the team in the long haul. And I think everybody's going to be impressed when they do watch these matches in the next couple of days. So heading back to the States on Monday. Be back in Denver on Tuesday. Like I said, banking up some content, so we got a lot coming out. Be sure to stay tuned with all that by following along on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby, @ColtonStrickler. Try to get up at least one or two tweets every day, just kind of highlighting what's going on, showing people the scenery. So hopefully that's been sufficient. But other than that, everybody, that's my show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Christian for coming to chat with me. I hope everybody had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. I'll catch you all back here next week. I hope you enjoy the match.